Leviticus chapter 23. Speak to the children of Israel and tell them, the set feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy assemblies, even these are my set feasts. So the year for the Israelite had a pattern. They had various feasts that they had to celebrate. And in fact, when you look at it, considering that for each feast they didn't work, they had quite a lot of days off in the course of the working year, far more than in other cultures around them. So God actually gave his people a relatively easy life if they had followed his way. And so, because we're human, we need some sort of routine. Now, the problem is that although we need a routine, then you can end up making loads of silly little laws like you must do this and that and the other. And that's, of course, not the idea either. But on the other hand, you can't just be without routine because human nature just tends to wander. So he begins by saying, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy assembly. You shall do no kind of work. Of course, the point of this was to teach them they were to trust in God's work for them and not in their own work. And it's a big human tendency to trust in our own works rather than to trust that God is going to save me, even though I am not perfect. These are the set feasts of Yahweh, even holy assemblies, which you shall proclaim in that appointed season. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, in the evening, is Yahweh's Passover. On the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread. To Yahweh, 7 days, you shall eat unleavened bread. That's bread without yeast in it. In the first day, you shall have a holy assembly. You shall do no regular work, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy assembly. You shall do no regular work. Keeps on emphasizing you are not to do your regular work. And, of course, the Passover was to celebrate how the Israelites had come out of Egypt and been saved by God through the Red Sea. And that, Paul says, represents baptism, that we were baptized into Jesus as they were, as it were, baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. There was the cloud above them, and a cloud is just water. There was water on both sides of them. And so they came out of Egypt, out of the world, through baptism, and then they came into the wilderness. And they were to remember the Passover every year to remember this great salvation that had been possible through the blood of the Lamb. You remember the plague of the death of the firstborn came on Egypt on everyone who didn't have the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts. And so they were to remember that. And of course, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, Paul says. So this looks forward in a way to the breaking of bread. Not that we have to do it once a year. In the early church, they did it every week. But the idea looks ahead to that. Yahweh spoke to Moses, speak to the children of Israel and tell them, when you've come into the land which I give to you and shall reap the harvest, then you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh to be accepted for you. It means they sort of passed it backwards and forth and forwards before God, that is, before his presence, because whatever represents God, be it an angel, be it a priest, be it the Ark of the Covenant, the holy place, this is, as it were, God. Now, that's why whenever we represent God, we are him to the world. It doesn't mean we're God himself. And it's, of course, the same with Jesus, who was the Son of God. And that's why some people misunderstand that, thinking that therefore Jesus was God himself in person, but he wasn't. In the same way as the priest or the Ark of the Covenant was not God himself, and yet it says they brought this first fruit of their harvest to the priest and waved it backwards and forwards before Yahweh, that is, before the priest, because the priest represented God, but he wasn't God himself in person. On the next day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. On the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb without blemish, a year old, for a burnt offering to Yahweh. So they were to learn the lesson that the first fruits, The first and the best of my harvest I give to God. And this is a really important principle, that we don't just go helter-skelter trying to make money, trying to get wealth, get harvest in, but that we recognize that the best of this is not mine, it's the Lord's. The grain offering with it shall be 2/10 parts of an ephah of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire to Yahweh for a pleasant aroma. So this pleased God. It was a smell that was pleasing to him. And the drink offering with it shall be of wine, the 1/4 part of a hin. So they were to offer flour and wine as well with their offerings. And that's a bit like bread and wine. You make bread out of flour. And so again, these feasts tend to just look forward a little bit to the breaking of bread, which is the only kind of feast, if you like, in physical terms that we keep. You shall eat neither bread, nor roasted grain, nor fresh grain, until this same day, until you have brought the offering of your God. You shall count from the next day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Even to the next day after the 7th Sabbath, you shall number 50 days, and you shall offer a new grain offering to Yahweh. This is what's called the Feast of Pentecost. You shall bring out of your habitations 2 loaves of bread for a wave offering made of 2/10 parts of an ephah of fine flour. They shall be baked with yeast for first fruits to Yahweh. You shall present with the bread 7 lambs without blemish, a year old, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They shall be for the burnt offering to Yahweh with their grain offering and their drink offerings, which was wine, so they offered it with bread and wine. Even an offering made by fire of a sweet smell to God. So all the time it says you should offer these animals without blemish. Now the closer you look at any animal or any human body, there is a blemish somewhere or other. Something is not right with every body and every animal. Now I think the thoughtful Israelite would have thought, we need to have a sacrifice that's without blemish. But actually, this isn't possible. And I think one of the functions of the law of Moses was to help the people to long for Jesus. Like, I wish there was a perfect, unblemished sacrifice. Well, yeah, that was only in Jesus. You shall offer 1 male goat for a sin offering, 2 male lambs a year old for a sacrifice of peace offerings. This is always the sort of sequence, the sin offering and then the peace offering. So you get right with God by the sin offering. You confess your sins and they're forgiven. You admit we are sinners and then you have peace with God. You don't just claim, it was good between God and myself, when you haven't repented. The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before Yahweh with the 2 lambs. You shall make proclamation on the same day. There shall be a holy assembly to you. You shall do no regular work. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap into the corners of your field, neither shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. That's the bits that are left over. You shall leave them for the poor and for the foreigner. I am Yahweh your God. God's always in the law of Moses and the prophets, he's very sensitive to how you treat the poor and the vulnerable, the poor and the foreigner. And he's very watchful of our attitudes to this day, to the poor and the weak and the vulnerable. In the 7th month, on the 1st day of the month, shall be a solemn rest to you, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy assembly. You shall do no work. And you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. On the 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement. You shall afflict yourselves, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. This is actually the only time in the whole law of Moses where they had to fast to go without food. You shall do no work in that same day. It is a Day of Atonement to make atonement for you before Yahweh. For whoever it is who shall not bow himself down in that same day shall be cut off from his people. So then, this Day of Atonement required them to bow down their heads and to confess their sins. Now, In the New Testament, Paul says, the fact they needed a day of atonement showed that all the offerings and the sacrifices in the year hadn't really achieved forgiveness of sins, or else why did they need a day of atonement? And so he says that the day of atonement looks forward to the work of Jesus. Whoever will not bow himself down will be cut off from his people. They had to humble themselves. And this is so critical, to be convicted of our sin and to bow ourselves down. And that's why the gospel is not popular, the true gospel, because people are not humble. It shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest to you, and you shall bow down yourselves. In the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, you shall keep your Sabbath. On the 15th day of this seventh month is the Feast of Tents, or the Feast of Tabernacles, for 7 days. On the first day shall be a holy assembly, you shall do no regular work. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. On the eighth day shall be a holy assembly to you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. So these are the appointed feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy assemblies, to offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. Besides the Sabbaths of Yahweh, and besides your gifts, your vows, and all your freewill offerings. So the fact that they were keeping a special feast didn't mean that they could forget to offer the daily sacrifice, and that's important. You might think, oh, but I'm away at a Bible school, at a Bible camp. I don't need to do my regular daily prayers or readings for myself. No, you do. It's those regular daily personal habits of prayer and Bible reading. It's these things which are so important, and you must never let sort of special efforts, special events in serving God sort of take that away from you. So on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you've gathered in the fruits of the land, you shall keep the feast of Yahweh's 7 days. And on the first day shall be a solemn rest, on the eighth day shall be a solemn rest. You shall take on the first day the fruit of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of thick trees and willows, and you shall rejoice before Yahweh your God 7 days. You shall keep it a feast to Yahweh 7 days in the year. It's a statute forever throughout your generations. You shall keep it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths. These were kind of temporary shelters they made from those tree branches and willows. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All who are native born in Israel shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh your God. So all the time he wants them to remember, I have saved you. You must never forget that you've been baptized into the Lord Jesus. You must never forget your beginnings, that God brought you all the way, that God took the initiative and came into your life and has saved you. And that here we have, as Paul says, no continuing city, but we seek that city which is eternal, which is to come, a building, a house made by God.